yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Bring other tongues. Bring other tongues. Put on Romans 8, 26 and 27 on the screen. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth.
Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
You know, it's good to pray with faith, and it's good to pray with understanding. But I find out that whenever I pray by the Spirit or in the Spirit, it always gives me an advantage, and I always pray effectively. Years ago, I was in Georgia, Atlanta, in a meeting. Then the Spirit said to me, leave and go to your hotel and pray. I got to my hotel, but the Spirit didn't tell me what I should pray for. And I didn't know what to pray about. So I began to pray in the Spirit. Whilst I was praying in the Spirit, the understanding came to me that my sister's life was in danger. So I called the husband and I said to him, Morris, what's going on with Dorothy? And he said, how did you know? And I said, I don't know anything. But the Spirit said that she was in danger. And he said, yes, she's had intensive care. It doesn't look good this time. Then the Spirit said to me, call your mother. So I called my mom and I said, Mom, I need you to do something for me. Then she said, what? I said, you know, when we were young, you used to have problems with Dorothy. And anytime you and her argued, you would say things like, when you go to deliver, you will know what it means to be a mother. So keep on talking to me this way and disrespecting me. You will see one day. And I said, those words are curses. And Satan is holding those words against her. She had had babies, several babies, and every time she went to deliver, she had to go through cesarean. They have to cut her, and she bled very, very badly. So this time there was another situation like that. It was a difficult delivery. So I told my mom, I said, you need to repeal the consequence of those words you spoke in anger. You have to repeal it and call back your words and annul the potency of it. So she did it, and I called a few hours after and she said, I've done it. So I prayed, and the next day I had a call that she had delivered for the first time without cesarean. Now, the reason for the cesarean was because of those curse words. Anybody who believes your father, your mother, or your grandmother curse you, whilst we are praying, I want you to come and stand at the altar. It's important. Because you see, one of the things that people don't understand is this thing called grace. People say, oh, we are under grace, so everything is fine. You are joking. Satan has no regard for grace or mercy or anything. He's not a respecter of anything, anybody, Satan. And I'll show you how God can forgive us, but Satan will hold it against us. I'll show you some things. Very, very scary and worrying how the enemy operates. And if by any means you believe that your father, your mother, or your grandfather or mother curse you, I want you to come and stand at the altar and pray at the altar. It's very important as we are praying. Now, When you pray, verse 26 and 27 of Romans 8, when you pray with your understanding, your prayers are limited. But when you pray by the Spirit in the Holy Ghost, your prayers are unlimited. Because you are praying according to the mind of the Spirit and the will of God. Because sometimes you'll be praying for wisdom, but what you need at that time is not wisdom. Sometimes you'll be praying for protection, but what you need is not protection. You'll be praying for a particular situation, but what you may need at that time is not even you. It may be a friend, a brother, a sister, a loved one somewhere who needs some help and who needs prayers. So I want you to pray for the next 1 minute in the Holy Ghost, not with your understanding. Because you see, when you pray with your understanding, the word, listen. The word helpeth our infirmity. That word infirmity means inability to pray as you ought to pray. That word there also means weakness, restrictions, limitation. So you can't pray as you ought to pray. So right now, in the name of Jesus, as we are praying the Holy Ghost, let curses be repealed. Let embargoes be broken. Let limitations be lifted. Open your mouth, pray in the Holy Ghost. Marakambatangada Sanda. Labarakati Labagadalas. Bela Bababande Bokadi Maraza. Beto Kadala Bakadela Kandabaza. Bela Bamba Barianda Babaria. Le Kadabahanda Lama Maganda. Open your mouth, pray in the Holy Ghost. Manabanda la canti barayando doya Zede lebro que te lebro que te bosando Zada bala baba bam bam da la baba Zaba bam bam bariam bada la bamba Bam bam da la baba da la baba De la kabanga de la baga Ke da la baga de le kabana baba La da la baba da la baba da baba Baradian daraba baraba, bele bobo kedembe, seda la branga da le brando, bente keda la grendo kuzendo bose, zada la granda kabagadile ibarabo, seka da la hadaba. Pray in the Spirit. Don't use your understanding. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Makada la brando bundi la bamba. Imalama mambolo mambo, sedala lambrando lambrando lebrando, celebrando bolo bobo don la mandoroso, ele lebrando kobodosi, ekele bogonzo bria, imalama rayanda la mama, iti andora mandolia, o tika la bakaya mandoya. Ilili bruko delibria, idala mama kundala mama, o ti andala yandu. Ula la la mama mandele bundu, izala mama mbumburu yandu, ikaraba sanduria, opi yama shikaraba handaburia, o ti laba kandabu. Iyala la mama mbuto la kabanda yu Yeri anda na mambo ndiri Ira na mambo duri andu Sida la la makande tiri andu La mama mama riando Ila mama makentente le bubu Ila la mambo du Tiri anda la la mambo Ayana mambo duru Ika mama mundiria, ilelele mama mbuduru, zidi andele buru, kira la mama mama mambu, la mama mburia, ilala la mama kutandale, ye kibarahandu, siriri bubundu, ima mama randanduru, Yetelebu kebe anke burundu Ikanda mama kembando mbando O kiyalala bako do barase bodo Amen. Amen. For those of you who came forward, we're beginning our June fast from tomorrow. I want you all to fast from tomorrow. And then Wednesday, I want you to come with oil. I want to pray a prayer of release. Say release. This thing about mother's curses, father's curses, grandmother and grandfather's curses, they are very strong. Especially fathers and grandmothers, grandfathers, mothers. Their words are very, very powerful. And so I want you to join the fast from tomorrow. And then Wednesday night service, I'll be praying personally for your release. None of your fathers or grandmothers or grandfather is more anointed than me. It doesn't matter whatever power they operated in. The power of the Holy Ghost overrides it. The power of the blood of Jesus overrides it. You will be released unconditionally. You will be acquitted and discharged unconditionally from the consequence of those curses and pronouncements. In the name of Jesus, say amen. Please take your seat. Give God praise. Put your hands together. Give God praise. The shout of the king is in the house. Are you clapping? We want to talk about the rebuke of the Lord. Tell somebody the rebuke of the Lord. There's something about the rebuke of the Lord that settles every controversy. Under the Old Testament, they didn't have the name of Jesus and the use of the blood and the Holy Ghost like we do. Under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them and departed. For us, it comes upon us, is within us, and is with us. So we have a better advantage than they had. However, the rebuke of the Lord is so necessary and important in dealing with the enemy. In dealing with the adversary. Now, Satan is a true accuser and is also a false accuser. Devil and Satan, true accuser, false accuser. And which means that whether you do the right thing or the wrong thing, he will always find ways to accuse you because he gains advantage whenever he accuses us. It weakens our strength. And he also brings us under guilt. And when you are under guilt, you don't function at maximum potential because guilt limits you. So we want to deal with the rebuke of the Lord. And let the rebuke of the Lord settle every contradiction. Resolve every unresolved issue. Let the rebuke of the Lord settle every controversy and contention. Over your body, over your destiny, and over your future, and over your seed, and over your loved one. Let the rebuke of the Lord precede you. Let the rebuke of the Lord go before you. Put your hands together and shout yes. Come with me to Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. Zechariah the third chapter, the first to the fifth verse. The rebuke of the Lord.
And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him.
Underline the word Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. The devil takes delight in resisting the children of God. If there's anything that gives him pleasure, is to hinder you and I or resist us. And that was what he did. So Satan loves it when he can resist and hinder the believer is one of the things that gives him pleasure. So let's go on and see how this situation was dealt with. He resisted him means that he restricted him, he limited him, he prohibited him, from carrying out his priesthood responsibilities and duty. He wasn't functioning at maximum potential. There was an embargo placed on him. Satan resisted him, hindered him, prohibited him from making progress. He loves that. By the rebuke of the Lord, let every embargo placed on you be lifted. Let every demonic injunction or restraining order that has been placed on you and your capacity to function and to operate at maximum potential, let it be lifted by the rebuke of the Lord. Go ahead. Watch something.
And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan.
The Lord what?
Rebuke thee, O Satan.
He did not deal, he didn't deal with the resistance. The first thing he dealt with was the accuser, Satan. He said, deal with the accuser, and then you take care of other things. The rebuke of the Lord has a way to silence the adversary. Number one, the rebuke of the Lord means to command. To command the enemy to come into alignment or compliance with God's demands. The rebuke of the Lord also means to prohibit the enemy. Say prohibit. It also means to deny the enemy. Deny the enemy of his argument. He will put up an argument against you and I before the Lord. To rebuke, the rebuke of the Lord denies, prohibits the enemy. The rebuke of the Lord also strips the enemy. It strips him of his trusted weapons. The rebuke of the Lord also means to disinherit or to dispossess. Say to disinherit or to dispossess. It also means to block, to prevent the enemy from advancing any further. That means this is how far you go. You are not crossing this line. So you are not crossing this line. The rebuke of the Lord also means stand down, relinquish your rights. Somebody say stand down. Relinquish your rights. The rebuke of the Lord also means to take away the rights of the enemy. To take away his rights. So whatever gives him the right or the audacity to resist you and I, let those rights be taken from him. So he's without any rights. He doesn't have any right against you. The rebuke of the Lord. Let me show you the meaning of it. I need a man and a woman for gender balance. As much as I need three people. I need two ladies, one man. Okay? Women always win. You don't win when you fight a woman. Okay. Give me something. Give me a cell phone or something. Yeah, you have a cell phone. Okay, come, my lady, come. Okay. This lady has a cell phone. This guy is a bully. Take her cell phone. Take it. Take it from her. And that is wrong, isn't it? So rebuke him. Tell him that is wrong. Give her back the cell phone and refuse to give it. Okay. Now, she rebukes him, give him back the cell phone. He refuses. So I come on the scene as the papa, as the archbishop. And I say to him, what do you think you are doing? Stop bullying my daughter. Give her her cell phone. Let it not happen again. Do you hear me? Say yes. Say superior authority. The rebuke of the Lord is when the Lord himself rebukes the enemy, rebukes a situation. The Bible calls him the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. The Bible calls him Yahweh, the God of the armies of Israel. The Bible calls him Adonai, possessor of heavens and the earth. All things was created by him, and all things are subject to him. And he's the head, of all principalities and powers. Say, I hear you. So my rebuke is different from the Lord's rebuke. When the Lord rebukes a situation, it has to stand down. Are you hearing me, somebody? Tell somebody, it's time to release the rebuke of the Lord. It's time. It's time to release the rebuke of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Shout yes. Be seated. Thank you. The rebuke of the Lord is the highest command in the whole universe. The next thing we'll be dealing with later on is the voice of the Lord. There's something about the voice of the Lord. Now, when you hear the voice of your dad or your mom coming and you are doing the wrong thing, you line up quickly. There's something about the voice of the Bible said the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The Bible said the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. We're not talking about the voice of the Lord. We're talking about the rebuke of the Lord. There's something about the rebuke. So let's finish this scripture from 1 to 5.
Zechariah, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee.
Rebuke thee.
Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?
He says a brand plucked out of fire, yet it has become lukewarm. Like I said the other day, for those who come to church only on Sunday and don't attend Wednesday services, you are becoming lukewarm. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time you come to church only Easter Sundays, Christmas service, 31st night, weddings and funerals. That is where you are leading to. And it doesn't happen overnight. That is why, you see, when the devil is working you, you can't tell, because the devil is a long-term planner. And the devil, he's very wise. The Bible calls him the old serpent. He's older than you. He was in the Garden of Eden. You weren't there. He's been around for a long time. He knows how to work us. The Bible said, and the heart of Solomon departed from the Lord. But it talked about it four times. The first time the Bible said, and the heart of Solomon began to depart from the Lord. Then the second time, and the heart of Solomon began to depart from the Lord. Then the third time the Bible said, and the heart of Solomon began to depart from the Lord because of the strange women, the daughters of Pharaoh. Then the fourth time the Bible says, and the heart of Solomon departed from the Lord. Four times. And some of you, your heart is departing, but you don't even know it. And you think Sunday service is enough. It's not. It's a deception. It's a deception. Little by little, he's lulling you and pulling you out of fellowship with the brethren. You say, oh, but I watch online. Watching online is not being present. Watching online is shadows. When you travel, you can have your wife's picture with you and you can watch the picture. That is internet love, long distance love, shadows. But when you come and you see her, you put the picture down and you go for the real thing. There's a difference between watching on the internet, streaming, and being part of the service. It's two different things. So stop those end time demonic services. That's what it is. Scientific services online, and you think you have done, you haven't done anything. You are walking in disobedience. You are in violation of the law of the fellowship of the brethren. You are losing what we call corporate anointing and corporate power. Two is better than one. God never intended that we should be separated from the brethren. And the Bible said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleansing us from all sin. That means if you are walking in the light as he is in the light, you will always have fellowship. You don't attend the home cells because you are too big for the home cell. You are in violation. You don't attend weekday services. Only Sunday you appear. Even if Jesus comes on Wednesday, you won't come to church. Little by little, you are becoming lukewarm. You are dying spiritually, but you don't know you are dying. Go ahead.
Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel.
You see, that was the reason for Satan resisting him. And I'll show you some things. You see, I was telling somebody, I said, the problem with sin is this. It's not that God won't forgive us when we sin. There is provision for sin. But the problem is more with Satan than God. because Satan will never forgive us, and he will always hold it against us, even to our grave and our dead bed. And I will show you how Satan held against Moses an unconfessed sin. And when Moses died, Satan came and requested for Moses' body. And an angel had to come from heaven in defense of the body of Moses to protect it, because Satan wanted it. He had a basis, a right, a technicality, even till the death of Moses. When you die, who will be by your bed? Is it angels that will protect your body or demons? We'll come there. Go ahead.
And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him.
You see? Filthy garments. Go ahead.
And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from
thee. I have caused your iniquity to pass. So there was an iniquity. There was something that gave Satan the right to resist, to hinder. So it wasn't a matter of God's mercy or forgiveness. God will forgive, but Satan does not forgive, and Satan needs a ground. He needs a foothold and a basis to hinder us, to resist us, to accuse us, to put us under guilt. So the fight here is to always think about this, that you need confidence when you stand before God, and you need to always have a free conscience when you stand before God, and the boldness, the audacity, and the courage. So as much as sin has pleasure, the consequence of sin is not worth the pleasure. If anybody tells you that sin has no pleasure, it's a lie. Oh, yeah, there is some pleasure in sin. You know what I'm saying? Now, you don't look at me like you're an angel. Come on. Ain't no angel here. Tell somebody there's no angel here. We don't have any angel here, including myself. I ain't an angel. And when we talk about sin, everybody just think about specific sins like sexual immorality. No, no, no. There are many, many sins. The Bible says every unrighteousness is a sin. Lying is a sin. Jealousy is a sin. Anger is a sin. Envy is a sin. Arrogance, pride, haughtiness, unforgiveness, bitterness, being offended, being hurt, all the works of the flesh, you know, the works of the flesh, you know. So some people are in church, but they are very, very arrogant people. They don't talk to anybody. They don't greet anybody. They don't relate to anybody. They despise everybody. They look down on anybody. They have this superiority complex. Don't you know who I am? Who are you? You want to know who you are? Go to Lashibi Mortuary. Go to Lashibi Mortuary. You know who you are. Or go to any cemetery. You know who you are. That is the end of all flesh. So please, I know you've been to Oxford. I know you've been to Cambridge. Yale, Harvard, Princeton. The best of the school. You've been to the best of school, and you speak the Queen's English. But you are nothing but dust. And listen, look at me. And you stink. Madam, I'm Pepe. Mister, I got it together. You stink. So take it easy. I know some of you don't want me to say that. But sometimes you need it to be painted. You need that graphic. You need to be reminded that you stink. And you go to the toilet and it stinks. You see? Let me tell you something. This nice preaching, this nice pep preaching, where we are becoming politically correct in the church, is allowing people to fool around and misbehave in the church. And it's making people act as if they have arrived and they are angels. But there are no angels among us, including me. There's no angel here. We all stink. So if God has given you a little grace, and has favored you and showed you mercy, humble yourself and treat human beings as human beings and stop leaving your shoulders. Come on, put your hands together, shout and give God glory and praise. Some of you can't even clap your hands. You can't clap your hands in church. You can't clap your hands. You can't. You have arrived. You are too prepared. You are too dignified. Go ahead. Don't listen to that preacher. Listen to me.
Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee.
Your iniquity, the first thing he had to do before his iniquity passed and before dealing with his filthy garment and dealing with the resistance was the rebuke of the Lord. The rebuke of the Lord has a way to silence the adversary. Shut him down. Tell him, stay out of it, Satan. It's between me and my son and my daughter. We need the rebuke of the Lord in our lives today. Because when nothing obeys, when everything rebels, they cannot rebel against the rebuke of the Lord. Jesus was on the sea from one side to the other side, and there arose strong wind. The sea was boisterous, and the Bible said he arose from the sleep and rebuked the wind, and immediately the wind was slain, and the ship was calm. The rebuke of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, like never before, we need the rebuke of the Lord. Put your hands together. Thank God for the rebuke of the Lord. Go ahead.
And I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garment and with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by.
You see, after the rebuke of the Lord, whatever was wrong was corrected. After the rebuke of the Lord, God fixed whatever was wrong. But the first thing the angel needed was to deal with the accusation. The angel said, you know, before I touch anything and deal with anything, what matters the most is to silence the enemy. And I need the rebuke of the Lord to shut him down. Whenever the enemy raises a rebuke, a resistance to hinder, to oppose, it's because something is wrong somewhere. Let's go. I want to show you something. Come with me to Jude chapter 1 verse 9. Look at Jude chapter 1 verse 9.
Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Does not bring against him a railing accusation.
Michael could not bring a rebuke himself because he realized that this was above him. It was above him. Sometimes we need the rebuke of the Lord to settle some issues. Go ahead.
But he said, the Lord rebuke thee.
He said, the Lord rebuke thee. And Satan stood down. Now, this was about Moses' body. There are three schools of thought from Bible scholars. Number one school of thought. It was believed that there was an unconfessed sin in the life of Moses. You remember he killed the Egyptian. Now, the blood of Jesus had not been shed yet. But the devil, he doesn't respect the name of Jesus or the blood of Jesus. He's a rebel. So for him, all he wants is to make sure you do something wrong. You miss the mark. So he can hold it against you, bring it up all the time to attack you. I'm telling you, he's good at that. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold, because if you give him, he will use it. He's looking for a place to use against you. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. He wants something he can use against you. So here was Moses dead. One school of thought believed that Satan held against him the unconfessed sin or the sin of the murder of the Egyptian. Satan held it against him for 80 years. And when he died, Satan showed up and said, I must have this body. I have the right to take this body. An angel of the Lord, an archangel by the name of Michael, responsible for heaven's defense and Israel's protection to heaven and Israel. Daniel 10, talk about that later. Had to come down in defense of Moses' body. And he couldn't deal with Satan, even though he was more anointed than Satan. He had to refer the matter to a superior authority and said, "The Lord rebuke you." And Satan immediately relinquished his powers. Now watch this. Another school of thought believes that the fact that Moses disobeyed God and God was displeased with him when God said, "Speak to the rock," and he smote the rock, familiarity with God, the fact that God was displeased with him because he disobeyed God gave Satan the audacity to come for his body. That any time we displease God or we are in violation of God's covenant or law or word, it gives Satan the audacity. He takes advantage of that to come in to mess up God's children. Watch the fact that he held against him a sin of 80 years. And when he died, he came on that basis for his body. Another school of thought believes that because he stood against idolatry, Satan wanted to, and the Bible says in Deuteronomy that God buried Moses himself. God buried Moses himself. Satan wanted to reveal where Moses was buried so that the children of Israel will worship Moses, to take away the worship of God and turn it to Moses and displease God. So God had to hide his body. Three schools of thought. Believe whatever you want to believe. But the fact of the matter is that I was amazed that after Moses had served God for 80 years, stood before God face to face, walked in the Shekinah glory, and for everything that God did with Moses, that Satan could come down. Please open me, unlock me. That Satan could come to demand his body when he died. That is worrying. He came and said, "I want the body of Moses." But you see, the devil understand technicalities and legalities. So he didn't just come by fooling or playing. He had a basis. He had a legal right. Something was off. And it could be the Egyptian he killed. It could also be the fact that he disobeyed God and displeased God, that God was displeased with him. If you remember, the Bible said that when Israel sinned against God, God handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years to afflict them. But if you look at the scriptures carefully, the Bible said that God handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. But something strange happened if you look at the scriptures carefully. The Bible said, keep awake. The Bible said that the children of the north, or the Amalekites, wake him up. He's not well. We'll pray for him. You'll be well. Eh? Just hear the word. You'll be well. The Amalekites took advantage and also came anytime they sowed their seed and it was harvest time. They also came and they plundered the children of Israel. But this was the verdict. What the verdict? The verdict was specific, that they were handed over to the Midianites for 7 years. And another group of people who were not part of the equation, whom God hadn't handed them over to, took advantage of the fact that God had handed them over to the Midianites, and they also joined the Midianites to come in and oppress the children of Israel. So whenever we demons and the devil, an undue advantage to fool around and do whatever they please, even though they don't have the legal right. And the only thing that stops them is the rebuke of the Lord. Somebody say, "The rebuke of the Lord." Put your hands together and thank God for the rebuke of the Lord. The shout of the king is in the house. Somebody say, "The rebuke of the Lord." You know, a true story of a young man who lived with a missionary. Now they were playing, and for whatever reason, I'm supposed to be roping in the choir, you're sitting here. Anyway, it's good to move around sometimes. It helps you to discover some people hiding. Amen. So watch this. They were playing, and by mistake, he killed the missionary's puppy, by mistake, and buried it quietly. He didn't tell the missionary. When he killed the puppy, he buried it. The cook saw him through the window, the kitchen window, that he had buried the puppet, whatever. And he didn't tell anybody. He kept it quiet. From that day, the cook will always come to him and say, "Hey, come and help me clean the kitchen." And he said, "No way. That's not my job." And he said, "How about the puppy you killed?" And he said, "You saw it?" He said, "Yes, I saw it." So he would give in and help the cook clean, do everything. Now he was doing everything for the cook. After a while, he got tired. So he went to the master and said, "Master, forgive me of every sin I've committed against you." Then the master said, "Be specific. If you say every sin, what sin? I don't know." He said, "Every sin, every mistake, every transgression, every iniquity." And the master said, "That is not enough." So one day he went to the master and he specifically told him that by accident I killed the puppy. And the master said, "Thanks for telling me. It's good you told me. You should have come to me a long time ago to tell me." So this was what happened. The cook didn't know. When he told the master forgave him. The cook didn't know. The cook came and said, hey, go out there, bring all the things, help me clean up. And he said, no, I can't do that, I won't do that. And he said, "How about the puppy? I'll tell the master." He said, "Go tell him. I've already told him." And he said, "You've told him?" He said, "Yes." What did he say? "Nothing." That was the end of it. The rebuke of the Lord brings to an end Satan's harassment, torture, and buffeting. Say, "The rebuke of the Lord." There is something about the rebuke of the Lord that you and I need to engage and deploy from today. And tomorrow is our fast till Wednesday. We are going to deploy the rebuke of the Lord in every area of our life. Let the rebuke of the Lord settle every debt and every controversy. See, I hear you. I want to show you something that scared me a little bit, and it has to scare you. You know, if you're a believer and you are never scared and afraid of the Lord, then I don't think you are going to heaven. No, seriously, let me show you a scripture. I need to scare you. Come with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 4, 19 to 27. I want you to be scared. I want you to be scared of God. Because it looks like there is no fear of God in the church anymore. Look at something. Very strange.
"And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt. For all the men are dead which sought thy life."
May all those who seek your life and your head die. In the name of Jesus, say yes. The louder you say yes, the quicker they will go. Go ahead.
"And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh."
These are instructions. And Moses obeyed. He wasn't in disobedience. He obeyed everything. Go ahead, watch it.
"Which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I will say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn."
You see, one of the bases of true deliverance is the promise to serve God. If you vow to serve him, he is compelled and committed to go to any extent to deliver you. I will look at that some other day. Go ahead.
"And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him."
aha, we'll go ahead. But this scripture here bothers me. I want to tie it into Satan coming for the body of Moses after he died. You see, let's show, said God, that in the day that you die, demons can come for your body. That only angels will surrender your body, will surround your body and demons. That there will be no situation that will give demons a place to come around your body. But let's go ahead. Then, here was Moses. Go ahead, finish.
Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her
son. This is important. Who you marry is very important, especially if you are in ministry. Who you marry is very important. This was a daughter of a priest, and she understood the ordinances and the ways of God. And she saved the day and saved Moses from dying prematurely. Go ahead, look at something.
She cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely, mm-hmm. a bloody husband art thou to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art, behold, because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the wilderness, in the mount of God, and kissed him.
Listen, this act here, 27, would have been prevented if the woman didn't save the day. May God give us godly women. May God give us women who have understanding of the ways and the dealings of God. Now, this is what is scaring to all of us, including myself. Very, very scaring here. Moses had been to the presence of God. They spoke face to face. God gave him instruction, and he said, number one, all the people who seek to kill you are dead. Take your wife, take your children, go to Egypt, do this, do that, do that. He said, yes, sir. Moses left the presence of God in a good spirit. I just came down from the old man. We just talked, you know, me and the old man. Everything is fine. But everything was not fine. And the old man didn't tell him that he was in violation of the law. Familiarity with God. This is where nobody should think they have it together. Let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. It's very dangerous. Moses had just come from God's presence. He had given him instructions, orders, and he was following everything through. After he left his presence, the Bible said, the Lord went after him and sought to kill him. If God wants to kill you, if the devil wants to kill you, you can call on the rebuke of the Lord. But if God decides to kill you, who can deliver you? Only the blood of Jesus. Are you hearing me? And this is what troubled me. The fact that Moses came before God, and God knew that Moses was in violation of the covenant, that he hadn't circumcised one of his sons. I expected that God would just tell Moses that, listen, Moses, you can't be my servant and be in violation of the covenant. You have to be right. I don't want you to come here next time till you get this thing right. Go down there, circumcise your son, and do the right thing. Simple. He didn't tell him. And there's a possibility that when he left the presence of God, Satan came and said, listen, you God, you are partial. You sentenced me to destruction. This, that, that, that. This, your servant, is in violation of the covenant. You didn't say anything to him. And God cannot be accused. I'm just speculating. So there was a possibility that the accusation came and God said, this Moses guy is allowing Satan to talk to me anyway, anyhow. I'm going after him. So the Bible said, and God went after Moses to what? Talk to me, to what? Talk to me, to what? Turn to somebody and say, is God after you? No, tell them. Tell somebody, is it possible that God is seeking for an occasion to kill you? Somebody say, mercy, mercy. You see, that for me is scaring. Very, very scaring. That you think you are so much in touch with God, flowing in the anointing, presence of God, casting out devils, everything is working. When you lift up your hands, things are happening. People are manifesting, falling. Demons are coming out. Meanwhile, God is angry with you. Why? Because you are in violation. Hey, may we not be in violation of the covenant of God. May we not walk in disobedience. You know something that scared me? When my old man came here, Dr. Sorello, and he made the call, and people start coming, they were taking envelopes. I watched some of the people, and I said, are they sure of what they are doing? I don't know if you watched. I don't know what was going on in your head, but me, I was praying. Oh, I said, hey, are they sure of what they are doing? Don't play with fire. Fire will burn you. So I took them to the corner here, and I spoke to them. I said, you people be sure of what you are doing. And I said, if anyone among you know that you were taking God for granted and you weren't sure, I'll pray for you right now. And they didn't want to lift up their hands. I said, okay. And they have taken note of all the envelopes and taken it to San Diego. Of the number of people who wrote an amount on the envelope they don't mean to pay. And yet you can be enjoying the anointing. Yet you can be blessed. But God gives you a long rope. And Moses left the presence with direct instructions, orders, specific orders. Took the wife, took the children, going to Egypt with the rod of the Lord, feeling good and everything. And then God said, you think I'm with you, I will show you. And God went after him to kill him. And when the wife saw the anger of the Lord coming after the husband, she said, this one, the only reason why God will seek to kill this man is violation of the covenant. And she knew it herself. So she took a sharp stone and quickly circumcised the son. And the Bible says, and God left him alone. There are a lot of us sitting here. We are in violations of the covenant of God. We've made promises, vows, that we know we will never keep and never honor. And yet, sitting in the presence of God, the rebuke of the Lord. We need the Lord's rebuke to settle some things. There are stubborn demons and spirits, but at the rebuke of the Lord, they will stand down. Come with me to 1 John 2:1. I want to show you. 1 John 2:1.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Mm-hmm. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
You see, so God has made provision because he knows we will sin. He knows we will sin. He understands that. So provision has been made that in the event that we sin, immediately there's an advocate that we can go to receive forgiveness. The forgiveness there means release and exemption from judgment. There's an advocate, because if you don't, Satan will use it. Because Satan never forgives, he never forgets. He's looking for a place. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Whenever he has a place, he will use it to make sure that you don't stand a chance. That when you stand before him, you can't lift up a voice. You don't have the confidence. He will remind you. I remember many, many years ago, we were fasting and praying at the student hostel. And there was this gentleman in the choir. He didn't fast. He didn't pray. And a demon blew his cover. And the demon said, you, stop all this shouting and prayer. You didn't fast. You ate. And the demon mentioned the particular food and the soup and everything. Yeah. A student was there. He said, don't say anything. You stop the prayers. You didn't fast. You ate so and so. That's why when we declare the fast, I say, if by any reason you can fast, you can still come to the prayer meeting. So you're exempted. That if by any reason, sometimes you forget. Sometimes I forget. Yeah, sometimes I can forget, cry, and then during the day, I remember that, yay. So I just said, no problem. I'll take it up another day. You get what I mean? Yeah, it's a very, you don't have to feel bad about it and walk around being condemned. Just saying, fine, I miss one day, I miss 2 days, I will do it another day. So after this fast, I'll just take my time and do it all by myself and just make sure I keep it simple. Serving God is very simple. It's not that very complicated. So don't make the thing ching-chilling. Amen? Look at Romans quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
You see, so this is the problem. This is the problem here. He didn't say there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He said those who are in Christ and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you can be in Christ and still walk after the flesh. That's what the problem with Christians. So somebody will hear that a Christian have missed it, a child of God have missed it, a pastor's son or a man of God's son, daughter has missed it. And they say, how can they say they are born again and do that? My friend, you yourself that is talking. You yourself, if the Lord shall count iniquity, you. So sometimes when I hear people condemning others and condemning our children, I'm not holding brief for our children. Nobody is an angel. Everybody can miss it. But sometimes when I know people's business and I don't talk about it, and all it takes when they see your loved one or your children in violation, the way they talk about it and they make noise as if Jesus, the world is coming to an end. And I ask myself, but when you violated the word of God and you were wrong and everything, I didn't kill you. I stood with you and I believe that one day you will get the light and you come out. So why do you hold things against other people's children the way you do? And meanwhile, you're not an angel. You are a human being like us all. Turn to somebody and say, why are you critical about others? You know, the other day the Bible said that a woman was caught in adultery. Then the men came to Jesus and said, stone her, let her die, according to the law of Moses. But the thing that troubled me was that it was a man who slept with her. She didn't sleep with herself. So where was the man? Why did they bring the woman alone and didn't bring the man? Then Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all those who came with stone to stone the woman, they all threw down their stone and walked away. And this is what disturbed me. Why were they willing to stone her when they themselves were in violation of one or the other? It's hypocrisy. I don't get it. I'm not saying that we should encourage people to fool around. But if you know things I know, I know things, Bishop Obadiah will tell you, I know things and I don't talk about it. You know why? Because you have to, listen, I'll tell you something why I don't talk about a lot of things. Let me tell you why. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts people of sin, judgment, and of righteousness. And I've come to learn this, even with my own children. I've learned this over the years. That if you don't trust the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin, of judgment and of righteousness, they will be sinning quietly, secretly, and hiding from you. Your talking to them won't change them unless the Holy Spirit convicts them of judgment and of righteousness. No preacher, no father, no mother convicts his children of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. I'm telling you. And you have to trust the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. You know, something that I was very pleased about, Joel and Anisha, Anisha's auntie is here, and the uncle, they made a vow that they won't have sex until they marry. So, Friday was a holiday, so we couldn't sign the legal document. So we did it on Thursday. So on the Thursday, the uncle is sitting here. The uncle said, hey, you people, now that we've signed this, the embargo is lifted. Between me, the Archbishop, your auntie is here, you can do it now. And Joel looked at Anisha and said, no, One more day. One more word. And you know, the wedding, it wasn't too much of money we spent, but there was a lot of prayer and fasting. They fasted. I have to stop them at a particular time because they were becoming weak. The fasting was too much. I said, stop the fast. It's too much. Stop the fasting. Eat. Sometimes it's not about money. It's grace. It's prayer. And that blessed me. That blessed me. And I told the auntie, I said, teach your daughter the ways of a woman in the bedroom. You see the way you are looking? Look at you. Look at all of you. Look at your faces. Angels. And meanwhile, you are not an angel. You know, I had a deaconess in my church. And she was very spiritual. Every Sunday, when my father's house, she prophesied. My children. I'm the Lord. And one day, the husband told her, you, I'm going to report you to the bishop. I was then a bishop. When you go to them, my children. You come home, you won't let me sleep. Look at the things you are doing. Archbishop's daughter. Every time, my children. So stop all the spirituality and the face you have made sitting down there. Oh, talk about sex and things. You made your face. Hello? I said hello. Christians, we are hypocrites. Oh. We are hypocrites. Made your face some way like you're an angel. You think we don't know you and where you came from? Some of you, I used to see you at Pussycat. Some of you, I used to see you at Condola, KTK, Watto, Opera Square, Tiptoe, Lido, Apollo Theater. In those days, I knew you in Egypt. So don't come here and make as if I've come to the promised land. I'm an angel. You are in no angel. So, I told Anisha's auntie, I said, mommy, Tito Bano, show him what to do. Don't want him to go to the bedroom then be speaking in tongues and say prayer meeting. And I called Joel and I said, sit down. Let me talk to you. And I said, this is not spirituality. This is practical. This is no anointing. So I said, look into my eyes and let me talk to you as a father. Let me show you the ways of the eagles. And I said, the woman won't call you my Lord because you speak in tongues. You have to know how to navigate. Said, this is not by power nor by might, it's by patience. I'm through. Rosa said I should stop here, so I've stopped. I'll even stop the preaching. But it's all because we don't want to deal with reality. A sister married in the choir. They went to a Buri Gardens for their honeymoon. The first day, she told the guy they should fast and pray. Second day, she said they should fast and pray concerning the babe, the kind of child they should have. Then the third day, she declared another fast for something. So the brother called the office and said he had to talk to me. So I came on the phone and said, brother, what is it? He said, Papa, talk to that your daughter. And I said, why? He said, I've been fasting and praying for all these years. At our honeymoon, she's declared a fasting and prayer. if she doesn't leave the fasting and prayer today, I'm leaving her and I'm coming to town. And you join us together, you will declare something else, Papa. So I said, put her on the phone. Let me see, where are they? So I called one of the sisters. I said, you are a mother, talk to her. Nobody counsels us about anything. Nobody tells us anything. Joel then went for marriage counseling for many, many weeks. And me and Bishop interfered them plan. The last few days, what we dealt with was sex. We kept it for the last few days before the wedding, and we dealt with sex. The methodology of sex. The last days. And we kept it there for the last days, not to tempt them. And we had to tell it as it is. We don't say it as it is. We hide everything under spirituality. And we leave them to go find out what it is. Then they run into trouble. Then when they run into trouble, they come. We start praying. It's not everything that is a prayer meeting. There are some things it takes information and knowledge and education. It's only education that eradicates ignorance. I'm through with my message. Look at me the way you are looking at me. You are not even clapping for me. You can sit there. Doesn't matter. Psalm 106 verse 9.
He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness.
He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. And released the rebuke of the Lord over your life to dry up any waters, any river, any troubled waters that is troubling you and your family, this nation, this land, and your finances and your business. Let the rebuke of the Lord dry it up in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and shout, yes! Please stand on your feet.